Welcome, this is Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideologies than you've been taught to think and to believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to talk about opening to your own sensitivity, to that special sixth sense inside and intuition, to open your feelings of the world around you, not just the world that you see. Now, this is something because in the modern world, for the last couple of hundred years, actually, and when technology and industry started to invade the society, all of a sudden we started to lose touch with our humanness, which is actually more divinely connected. That side of ourself was pushed aside. Nobody discussed it. Nobody talked about it. They thought, okay, if I do this on Saturday or Sunday, that'll be enough. But you understand it's a quality that all humans are born with, an inherent connection to the divine universe. Now, what's interesting is somewhere along the line in school, you learn about those six senses. And then you don't hear anything about it anymore. Five senses, yes. Touch, taste, smell, all that stuff. But they forget the most important sense. It's pushed aside, unfortunately, by the powers that be. Because if you were in tune with your feelings, your intuition, your psychic sensitivity, you wouldn't let them be in charge. We wouldn't be in the mess we are today. And this is what we are currently learning as we open to expand. You see, at this point of evolution, humankind on planet Earth is at level 3 in the evolutionary stage. Level 3. Now that sounds, that sounds okay, right? 3, we're not at least 1. We passed 2. But do you understand, throughout the greater cosmos that God Creator created, there are beings that are level 12, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and technologically. So we're at 3. So you have to understand we've got a long way to go. And humankind has been given this extra special patience from the divine universe, so to speak, to catch up, to grow. And if you felt things that you hadn't felt before, what you're seeing now is your own opening to this greater awareness. I talked about this back in the late 70s and talked about as we progress through the 90s, people would be opening their spirituality. So if it was, say, level 2, if we put a number on it, or 2% of use, it would crank up to 20%, 10 times. So if you're using level 90%, it would crank up to 900 times that. Because we are traveling on the Earth herself as she's traveling, as she does through her normal planetary cycle, through this greater cosmos or the Milky Way, she's getting closer to that vortex of energy we literally term creator, God, force, source, all there is. And as we get closer to that connection, all of that we have is to be heightened. And this time we promise to make it through that evolutionary journey. So all will be able to sense and see in the new earth, or the new paradigm, which you hear being tossed about. But the change starts inside you. So I was born this way, as everybody is, but I was born, obviously, had used it in between lives, and in this life I study. It's not good enough just to be psychic or intuitive. You must keep the growth, you must keep the learning, keep the knowledge, but keep it connected to the lighted path and the highest ways to learn how you're supposed to use those energies. So as a child, I remember being psychically aware, but born in an academic family that didn't discuss these things. And I figured as a kid, God would not give a little girl this kind of gift if it wasn't for the good of others. I'd wake up from a dream and find that the event had already happened. I'd know before the doorbell would ring and who was going to be there. I'd know when the telephone was going to ring and who was on the other side before touching it. And again, I thought, this must be applied. So I became very devout, and every Sunday I went, took my little self to church, because I thought, oh, this is where you dedicate it. I wanted to be a nun at 14. My mom talked me out of it, and that's a good thing. But what happens is I thought, this is where you give this gift. But as a child, I continued to study everything I could get off the shelves with my library card on the subject matter of spirituality, metaphysics, and studies. But I noticed something I did just naturally, inherently. I would go through the house in the dark. I wouldn't turn on the light. I would make sure I could sense and feel and see, and it was easy to walk a path. In fact, I learned it was easier to tell where the doorknob was or where the furniture was in the house. And I realized, oh, I'm directing those senses or strengthening like a muscle you use. And so it was easy for me. And so to this day, how can I say it? I still use that quality to keep attuned, one of those things. But I found through my life that even more was apparent. I found that there was so much knowledge, and I was able to hear the divine universe as well. And I would be guided to particular books, because there's a lot of garbage out there. And that I would inherently, the book would glow or fall off a shelf, and it would open to a particular page that they wanted me to know. At night, before I would fall asleep, a lot of information would be coming through by morning. So I recognized if I connected, because I had a love for the divine universe, God Creator, that I could open to that knowledge that they were downloading on a daily basis. So I started to do this. Now, you understand this is at a time when I still have to work in the normal world. So I knew all my senses were being keen and heightened. In fact, I remember testing myself between teen time, somewhere between 13 and 19. I thought, let's test this mind-reading thing. So what I would do is I would sit in a room and no one else was in the room with the other person. And I would act like I would be reading a book or something or writing something. I'd try to tune in. Over all those years, I thought, oh, it's just garbage. They're just saying, where's my pen? Where's the glasses? I thought, that's a waste. But it left me with something for the rest of my life. What happens to me now when I walk into a room, I can tell what that person thought about me. They'll say, hi, how are you? Good to see you. And I can hear the person say, geez, I hate her. I wish she wasn't here tonight. I can actually hear that, and I am not allowed to answer. I have to say, and how are you? Thank you for allowing me to be here. So I've learned that you have to subvert what they're actually saying. So if a guy stops me and says, what time is it? I know he has just looked at his watch and he's just trying to connect. So I would give him the time and smile and walk away. But I knew what he had really said in his mind. But I have to act like I did not and move forward. So you can imagine going through life like this, that heightened sensitivity is always operating for me, not something I can turn off or on. I can protect, but especially when it's something important that I noticed that the divine universe wanted me to hear, they would push it right in. I would have no doubt, 100 people could be in the room, and bang, they would give me that person's thought or that behind. And so I noticed when I was doing my spiritual work or working with clients as a master psychic, what would end up happening is if I do so much, all of a sudden if I went to a mall or a store where everybody was or it was crowded, I noticed that I was like a pine cone with all the little openings up, not closed. And everything, I could feel everybody in the place. I remember going on a cruise ship. There were some 5,000 people. Sorry, what am I saying? 500. And it was just very difficult because I couldn't really relax. Because as I walk through, I'm picking up their feelings, their thoughts, their intensities. It was a very interesting thing. So I learned to respect my quiet times, to respect the peaceful moments when I walk through nature. And then I realized something as a child that has continued through my life. Through nature, when I walk, and I do this on a daily basis, or connect to some point of nature, I am cleansed. I am healed of all the garbage. And yet that tree will talk to me. The plants will talk to me. The earth herself will talk to me. If we but listen and pay attention to all that other stuff we're taught not to. So I've learned that they give brilliant information if we but choose to listen. You see, left brain in the human body was only made to store facts and figures, and it repeats it all. And it only makes, how can I say it, it only asks questions. It never gives you a solution. So all night long when you're in a problematic time in your life, you can go to bed and not sleep, and your mind is going, well, what about this? Well, who did this? Well, what if we do? It never answers a question because it's not capable. What you're supposed to do is connect to your higher self and download that information from the divine universe that does know or does have that information or the solutions through yourself, through your subconscious, and wear down that wall between left brain and right brain. So I noticed that the people that were more artistic or more creative were using right brain more often. But it is the balance of the two that work effectively. One more dominant than the other is not good. So what I still do to this day is sense. If I need a parking spot, I was teaching someone else very close to me how to feel the void, we joke and say. Feel the spot where it's vacant and then drive right to it. If you need something in the store, ask the divine universe to show you, and you will be there in 2 seconds, not 20 minutes searching for it. This is something I've used all my life, but I will sense it and feel it. And this is something that all humankind will be doing by 2040 and onward through for centuries to come. This enlightened kind of awareness or connection that has been pushed aside intentionally, unfortunately. So, you know, some of you, when you walk into a room, you can tell when people have been talking about you badly or poorly. You can feel it. Or if you walk into the room and everybody's been arguing and upset, all of a sudden, in a few minutes, you could feel that, and you're upset too. You don't know why, because you didn't protect normally. Or you can walk in and see that everybody has a surprise, or you just know something as good is going to happen when you connect to this person. Those are all your feelings working. So it's extremely important to understand that the soul is actually in this vessel we call this body. You incarnated in this best vessel that you chose and earned from previous incarnations. So what ends up happening in this lifetime is this houses the soul for its experiences. But it's connected at the back of the heart, at the seed, Adam, it's called. Always. So I learn ultimately when there is a pulse or a pull in the heart chakra, it was important to pay attention to. I learned throughout my life in certain scenarios that if the pull was a hard tug at the bottom, that was a don't and a no, and don't go that direction. Or if there was an expansion in the heart, I would learn that this is a direction to explore. But most people have no clue of what I'm speaking of. But yet it's part of a human energy that hasn't been utilized. Like if you don't use your left hand, it's not as strong as the right. It doesn't work as well as the right. So Russia learned this many, many years ago. India learned this many years ago. Left brain and right brain in balance. And if you look through life now, Russia has started to adapt more spiritual connection, even though they're a very left brain dominant society, using folk medicines and intuition and bioresonance healing. India went the opposite way. They were very spiritual, and they've embraced technology, and they've embraced it so well they're on the forefront when it comes to high tech and technology. But that's because the balance was necessary. For right now, all on Earth, in the U.S., it's not about Sunday or Saturday. It's if you can stay in that energy field to use this brilliant process every day of your life. So you want to try it for 10 minutes. You want to try it for 20 minutes. But each day you want to use it to process it more and more until you're feeling all the layers of life, not just one.
All genres, all indie. Indie 100.
And welcome back. This is, of course, Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And you can find more information about me at my website at InTheSecretGarden.com. And today's topic, we're talking about opening your feelings and sensitivities to all those layers of reality throughout the rest of the world. I'm very proud and very happy to have as our guest today on the show, Nan Shuni Giron from Guatemala. We Americans don't say it properly. But what ends up happening is Shuni is a Mayan elder that teaches. She travels around the world teaching the Mayan culture and cosmologies. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Antonia. It's a very it's a big pleasure to be here in Canada, bringing the Mayan spirituality, the Mayan sacred fire, and sharing with everybody these new teachings that are truly ancient, that are the teachings of the human body. So with this new understanding, it's almost like the recognition of ourselves and the human experience.
Excellent. So now, the interesting thing is that the ancient Maya were brilliant, and people don't realize that they're all primitive culture, all ancient culture. Well, do you understand the astronomy towers that we make today are built after the Mayan models of studying the cosmos and the planetary travels, and they were accurate way back then? So a lot of that knowledge was taken away.
Yes, a lot of that knowledge. I think that it was all really a master plan.
Yes.
I believe that maybe our consciousness was not in the process of receiving that information. And it was sealed by many of the Spanish priests back in the day. But the only few surviving texts that we have, and the Mayan and temples and the Mayan stelas, and the oral tradition, the trunk of the spirituality is still enrooted in the people. We have the sacred book of the Maya, which is the Popol Vuh, which is an oral tradition that has been passed from generation to generation, and this still survives the test of time, and is being followed by many people in Guatemala still, and it's a living culture.
Yes.
So it's almost like there was a moment of planetary amnesia. But now is this field is our consciousness are allowing us to express ourselves through this new understanding. And this new understanding, the teachings of the Mayan calendars, the teachings of the different counts, they are based on just full observation and observing the field and us in the field and the relationship with us with other humans. So it serves as a mirror for each one of us to begin to understand that shadow aspect of ourselves and that light aspect of ourselves. The Mayan culture was really reverent to those two sides.
Yes.
It is a strong fundamentals for the Mayan cosmology, the understanding of that light and dark. When you have no society, when you are just basing all that in pure observation, it becomes different what's right for some and wrong for others. And it becomes much more of a principle of integrity in the things that you do and how you behave. And it also becomes less judgmental.
It's more about the intention, especially behind
Absolutely.
It.
There's a huge intention. And the intention that the Maya did many of their things, it played a lot of, there's a lot of spirituality behind it. There's a lot of meaning in it. And I think that it has been a little bit, I will say, hidden from the Western world, the reality.
Yes.
And it has been shown that the Maya, you know, committed many sacrifices, but there was an intention behind it. And I believe that nowadays, we can see that when there's this intention behind it, it just levels. It was almost like a balancing. We see now that our Western world is trying to prevent us from looking within ourselves for answers. We look for the answers. We look in pills. We look in the quick fix, and we have forgotten that the human body has all the answers. For us, the studying of the Mayan calendar and the study of the sacred count, the Sol King, teaches us that the energies are within us. The answers are within us. The answers are in the field. It is an individual field, and it is a collective field that we weave together. So the Mayans and the Aztecs were great poets, and they believed that our words can create and can destroy. They believe that every word can be weaving into cosmic field that creates it. That's why they created what's called the Mayan Matrix.
Yes.
For you to be able to create your life and create it and weave it according to the natural cycles of time. And the problem is that the cycles that we're living at this moment in time are not correct. The 1260 yes. frequency, it's a mechanical frequency. It's a watch frequency. And it doesn't fit perfectly the rhythm of humans.
Yes.
So when you are almost like running after this mechanical time, it's like you don't experience, you don't weave intentions in time. So the Mayans created what's called the Mayan Matrix, which I believe it's a weave of time and space coming together. And this space in between them is known as the Mayan, is known as the Nach. The time where the time and space come together. I believe with my experience in weaving that if we don't create some sort of a story or some sort of contact in this Nach or time and space crossing each other, the synchronicities don't attach to things.
Yes.
But if we do, if we create an idea or we create a story and we create it in this time and space, coincidence attached very clearly
always,
to it.
Yes.
And this is what gives the green light to humans to say, wow, this is I created this, or I dreamed this, or I've been here.
And it also shows them that they're on their right path.
Absolutely.
The more and more synchronicities they feel on a daily basis.
It's reassurance, and it's the reassurance that the universe works with you when you work with the universe.
Correct.
And we are so conditioned by the schools. We're so conditioned by the time. Because if we begin all asking the questions, the more important questions, why are we following the Gregorian calendar?
Mm-hmm.
Why did anybody ask us or gave us the choice to follow this calendar?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's with all due respect to the Gregorian calendars, there's many things wrong with the Gregorian calendar, beginning from the month of December being the 12th month, and in Latin, December means dies.
Yes,
is the 10th month.
Yes.
Then we have November being the 9th. Nove comes from the Latin 9, and it is the 11th month.
Ah, yes.
So how would that happen? Then we begin to know that the word calendar come from the word calendas, which was the book of taxes that the Romans, charge your money.
Correct.
So
whether we use the Julian calendar or the Gregorian, because mm-hmm. both are still used in mm-hmm. the world.
And then you begin to know, investigate just a little deeper. And most of my students get shocked when I tell them this, but Julius Caesar wanted your money, so July was created. And then you have Emperor August that wanted your money.
Yes.
So that's why December became the 12th month, November became the 11th month, because they all wanted a cut of your money. So you are, from that moment, you have calendar that it is 29, 30, 31, and there's this... It's not an equal calendar. It doesn't advance us in having a human experience, but just allowing us to go from Monday to Tuesday to our work.
Right.
And wow, it's Friday.
A time frame.
And we don't create, and we're conditioned to this repetitive behavior where we are not allowed to create anything on different on a Monday,
yes.
or create anything different on Wednesday. But this new way of understanding time, according to the sacred Mayan count of days, gives you the advantage to be able to create yourself in time,
yes.
and be one with time. The Mayans believe that the days were like diamonds. Each one had a special essence, and each one had a special frequency. And this frequency, when we play on it, It's like we surfing in natural cycles of time. And this is what makes your experience unique. This is what makes your experience feeling, that develops all your feelings of intuition, develops all these feelings of listening to the feel. What is outside,
right.
It's inside. The more I investigate my teachings and the more I am going around the world seeing other people's energies, the more I understand that everything is so collectively affecting us in such a big level.
Yes.
That when things are happening in the field, I happen to have a Mayan energy that feels the ripple effects a little bit before things happen.
Yeah, that's correct.
And this allows me to just speak about it before it has happened and then things happen.
Yes.
And part of my teachings and part of my learnings in the Mayan lands, it's to read the feel. So the Mayans, when the Mayans say the Mayans were obsessed about time, the Mayans were not just obsessed about time. The Mayans were obsessed in observing the events in time to see if things repeated again.
Yes, for the cycles.
For the cycles. And this repetition and this knowing allow them to be so intuitive and so focused on looking.
Yes.
That it says that the information is there for the eyes that are open. The information is there for the ears that want to hear it. Mm. So it takes challenge and it takes practice for us to break from the life that we already learned that tells us that none of these things happen. But now this new time is teaching us that, yes, everything is playing a huge role in our part.
We're going to pause for a break and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Advertise your business, product, your website worldwide with Indie.com's 8 million unique listeners at awesome preferential rates. Call us for details at 818-381-4902. That's 818-381-4902. Again, 818-381-4902. And yes, I'm talking to you.
Indie 100.
And we're back. This is, of course, Beyond the Here and Now. I'm your host, Antonia Lau. And by the way, I have a second website up if you'd like as well. Actually, a couple of them. And to find out more about the earth changes and what you can do, what we can expect, and how we do this, if you resonate, you're welcome to visit onlyoneplan.com or bestdisastersurvivalguide.com. Or you can visit my YouTube channels at Beyond the Here and Now, YouTube channel, all the words together, to hear more about this. But it's important that you know the topic for today is opening your understanding of your feelings. And again, I'm very happy to present my guest, Nun Shuni Hirong from Huatamaya, a Mayan elder that is sharing with us. Now, the interesting thing about scientists have realized in modern technology that the ancient Mayan calendar is more accurate than our own calendar today, especially with the noting of the eclipse times, the changes of the planetary changes, the transition of Venus. I was very moved when I got to visit Chichen Itza and El Castillo. Right on the grounds, they have Venus, the dedication to Venus. Well, a few hundred years later, it had moved 8 degrees, and they adapted the foundation to show the new progression in the planetary system of those 8 degrees. That's how exact they were. And so I also understand that people don't understand. There were several eras of the Mayan, culture. The earlier culture had this brilliant, intense connection, all this education that was focused on, and all this knowledge and wisdom that was passed. And then only at the end of that, several thousands of years later, did the killing and that sort of thing come into the culture. But we notice today, we have, I don't know how many wars going on in the world. So that energy has been a part of our planet, which is unfortunate. And so wars are promoted for whatever reasons, usually for power and greed, as we see. So everyone on the earth has a chance to connect. Everyone on the earth. So the ancient Maya probably warned and told succeeding generations, and they may or may not have listened. But as humankind went through its phases and changes, we all have a choice. So, Shuni, you teach around the world, yes?
Yes, I teach around the world.
In fact, how can I say, you've given two bits of knowledge that I wasn't aware of, and I study everything, mm-hmm. but especially was brilliant about the, how can I say, the notation of nove being nine, and the I couldn't believe that, what happened to those dates, and then explaining why that happened. But what we notice is if you take any system, the Mayan astrology is brilliant, Chinese astrology is brilliant, there's sidereal astrology, Uranian astrology, evolutionary astrology, which I use, and spiritual astrology. There's all types, but if you keep them within their system, they're effective. You don't cross-bleed them or cross-link them, but you'll find that the one overlay another with brilliant knowledge, just using a different system. But the Maya had this kind of quality, and you share that with your workshops as well.
Yes. So when we speak about the Mayan calendar, we speak about many calendars going at the same time. The yes. Mayan calendar, it's three calendars in one that includes the long count, which is a count that it is based on the solar system and the sun going around that solar system that takes 26,000 years. And the Mayans could observe this long count that feels linear, but it is an elliptical count.
Yes.
In a universe. Then the Mayans had a medium count that was for a planet, and for it was created for the agricultural purposes that has some influence on us.
Yes.
That is called the Aab count. Mm. So that was the perfect count for the Earth. And then we have the Sol King count. That is not the calendar. It's called a sacred count. It's a count based on 260 days that is approximate 9 months of this gestation, that it is divided into 20 Mayan energies that come from our ten fingers that connect us with the heaven and the 10 toes that connect us to the earth. And it is multiplied by 13 because we have 13 major articulations in our body. And you also see that the female aspect of this is that there is 13 days from new moon to full moon.
Mm.
So this sacred count, that it is not a calendar because it's not for all of us to pay our bills or for all of
right.
us. It's a rhythm of
it's a
of
spiritual this. Side.
Mm-hmm.
Of the same thing. And people have to realize we are not just a material or mental world. There is a spiritual side that has to be brought back into society, a mental side and a physical side. And you just named the three calendars that
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so the sacred count of days, it's a count that is sacred. It's kept sacred because it is an individual tool that allows each one of us to create a human experience. And the amazing thing about it is that there's no other tool in the world that allows you to weave things in the natural time, to weave a poem and to create a day with the poem vibrating with the natural cycles of time, where synchronicities, one more time,
yes.
attach. So many of my students at the beginning, it's a challenge to get out of the Gregorian calendar and embrace another calendar. But it is a gradual thing where you have, the beautiful thing is that you can always come in and out.
You adapt.
And then you realize that the Gregorian calendar is only offers you a time that is an ordinary time.
Correct.
But then this, you have a sacred count, the Mayan sacred count, the Cholki count, that allows you to get into sacred time where you're weaving, when you're folding your reality, your desires, what you come here for. So it allows you to really bring the best of you. The Mayan astrology is based on the observation of thousands and thousands and thousands of people, archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're born in the Mayan lands, the first thing that the parents will do is they will take you to see the Mayan Aki, which is what I am. I am a Mayan Aki.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you the energies and the traits and the essences of people born under your sign and your
mm-hmm.
number. The beautiful thing about this sacred count of days, or this Mayan astrology that we call, it is that because I have seen so many personality traits,
right.
I'm able to see the duality.
Exactly.
So when I do a Mayan reading or a Mayan Tree of Life reading, I tell you the energies where you come from, who you are, and where you're going in the future.
Yes.
And knowing them allows you to walk with certainty.
Yes.
Allows you to know immediately when you are in your dual side, when you are in the flip side of your Mayan energy, and you immediately correct it. It says that you can go through life hitting walls and not knowing who you are.
Yes.
But once you know your Mayan birth energy, you walk with certainty. You already know, it empowers you, and you're allowed to create that feeling in who you are within yourself.
It's a special layer. People don't understand. Everything we do has a spiritual effect, a spiritual energy, but it's been pushed aside. So even in, I use evolutionary astrology, which takes in all the, what you were saying, but it's more accurate than the average everyday Sunday paper astrology. Mm-hmm. So people are kind of shocked. But people have to understand the way the spiritual side of every science was supposed to be applied had been lost for quite some time. And we're starting, as you said, Shuni, we're weaving it back in to our experience. Bit by bit. You're also apparently, how can I say that you're training, you do ceremonies as well.
So I work with a field, and I've been working with a field for many, many years, and bringing the Mayan sacred fire, which is the original teachings of the understanding of the fire. The Mayan sacred fires have never been turned off by our people. We continue with this light in our hearts, and we continue to bring the understanding of how, why is it that we do Mayan fire ceremonies. The Mayan ceremonies is an exchange with the field. I try to put it with all the respect for people that in the church, that what we do is the same. From the intention that we go and buy the candles and we make the mandala and we bring all these ingredients. These are ingredients that I'm buying to share, to exchange with the field, to tell the field that this is what I'm bringing, this is my intention. So we live in a living field that people are finally awakening to understanding. But because the Maya were such a great observers, they could see how the Mayan cosmology is not a religion.
Yes.
It is a way of life where we integrate the heart of heaven, heart of earth, heart of water, heart of fire, and we integrate the four winds that we breathe. In conjunction with that integration, we're able to see what comes in the field, where we observe, even if it's this tiny little bird, or even if it's tiny little worm, why did it come in the field? There's a meaning for it.
Yes.
When you begin to observe certain things coming in the field for a reason, you really begin to take two steps back. And you begin to see things in a collective way, feeling it, surrendering it. The great things and the most amazing things that I can share with your audience right now is the understanding of feeling. Feeling, it's just having eyes in your hands, eyes in your toes, eyes in your feet, having that third eye open to receive the meaning of things. All the answers and the 20 Mayan energies are within our bodies. So if I don't have the energy of the artist or the performer,
right,
I can still access it.
That's correct.
I can still access it because it's within me.
Actually, our whole world today is because of our collective consciousness. So those things you don't like what you see out in the world, basically, you contributed to. I think it was Albert Einstein. I'm not sure if that's correct, the quote. Evil continues because good men stay silent. So what happens is if you didn't say anything, didn't do anything to help that change from a personal basis or a local basis or a national or world basis, we have that world that we present today. And it's being pulled back so people can see the dirty, ugly parts of their world and themselves right now. And so they can change that because none of this will be able to exist in the new earth or the new paradigm we're fast approaching. These things were being, purified, so to speak. So those things have to come up so you can see the ugly inside self and think, ooh, don't stuff it, hide it. get rid of that ugly, so to speak, or make sure you're concerned about your government. Don't just go home and watch TV and eat and go to sleep. Literally have care about your fellow man, your neighbor. Most people don't even know their neighbor, many of them in the Western world. So it's important that you understand everything we do affects everybody in the collective, is what you're saying.
Yes, it is an intelligent field. I am the more I get into my investigation, the more I see it, the more I understand it, the more I see that I can bend this field. I can transform this field. And it is just beautiful just knowing that you can do that. You can access this, and you can also, this new way of understanding, these new teachings are going to be teaching us how to go really deep and input certainly even a glass of water with healing information, excellent, with love information. And that is the next teaching and the next phase for humanity.
We'll be back in just a moment.
My name is Antonia Lau, and as a professional psychic for over 40 years, I know life can feel overwhelming at times. Wouldn't you like to have an inner grasp of your life's directions and your choices for a better quality of life? Whether it's for your career, your love life, your life path, or even your soul growth, or just a greater understanding of what's going on in your life, so you can make a more informed decision for everything you do. I've had clients all over the world with over 50,000 readings. I stopped counting in 2002. It's important that you understand this is not like a storefront gypsy. This is quite different. From my clients, I hear that it impacts them for the rest of their lives. And I have many that have been with me for over 40 years. I have a high repeat clientele and a high referral base as well. So this is for anyone all over the world. I've been doing them before they were popular on TV and in magazines. So if you would like to take a deeper look before you make those decisions, or to correct a quality of your life you'd truly like to correct, please feel free to give me a call whenever your heart feels drawn to do so. 818-381-4902. That's 818-381-4902 to make your appointment.
Indie music all the time. Indie 100.
And welcome back. We're again here talking about the topic of opening up your sensitivity and your feelings to the divine universe, all those other portions of reality. I'm very happy and pleased to have my guest with me today, Nan Shuni Giron from Guatemala. And we've been talking about the Mayan cosmology, which she teaches as an elder and shares around the world. So, Shuni, you were mentioning just in the last segment, basically, about this collective and the changes. And you're helping that collective to alter by traveling with your workshops and ceremonies around the world. So where are you headed next?
I'm going to be heading back to the United States in half a month in July. And then I'm going to be traveling to Europe. I will be sharing Mayan spirituality, doing Mayan sacred fires in Poland, the Czech Republic, Germany, and possibly Amsterdam. So then probably in September, I'm going to come back to the United States and be traveling to the United States doing Mayan ceremonies in Cahokia, hopefully Serpent Mound.
Oh, wow.
And then in November, I'm planning to go to Mexico, and in February, I will be returning to Panama to teach at the tribal gathering.
She's going to be busy. So they can find more information about you, Shuni, where?
You can reach me and in my Facebook, Shuni Giron, or check out MayanSacredFire.com.
Okay, MayanSacredFire.com. Mm-hmm. And Shuni Giron on Facebook is S-H-U-N-I-G-I-R-O-N. So you have that for your reference. So you see there's brilliant understanding. The ancient, like you talked about Cahokia, they found that wasn't the actual name. There was another great civilization, a huge city, that predated the natives that called themselves that city Cahokia, even before. So they're finding out all the beauty that we had this brilliant society beforehand. So even though they're ancient, they're not savage. They were highly intellectual. How can I say it? And that's what has been pushed aside.
Absolutely. They were really spiritual people. I think we are missing, or we are just seeing half of the story presented by the different people that don't understand the Mayan spirituality. We have great scholars and great epigraphers. But when you submerge yourself into the spirituality and the concepts of the Popol Vuh, which is the sacred book of the Maya, you realize that the Maya work in such a communities. If you had a problem, it was a problem of the community. And this is something that we've lost, being able to share the problems and being able to work in communities. We have really detached from that, and now we play a very individual role.
Yes.
But ultimately, it is all connected to the cosmic intelligent field that we know now that is a living field that is being fed up by our thoughts, by our words, by our intentions, and most important, by our feelings. Little by little, people will begin understanding these concepts because they now realizing that everything you say becomes everything you feel it is. And now that with so much illnesses around, with so much going on, now is people are beginning to see that we need a new way of thinking. We need a new way of understanding ourselves. The teachings of what makes really amazing the teachings of the Maya is being able to integrate light and dark. Some people, and with all due respect to all those masters, that without integration of the shadow self, it will never come to the light. When you bring light to your individual own shadow, this is corrected by your heart, by your love, by your intention, and it brings it to the light.
Yes.
And this is what I keep trying to tell my students. It is about fixing individually ourselves first, bringing those things to the light. Then that way they're not in the dark, or they're not felt as a suffering. They're not brought to the conscious field as suffering.
They're more deeply spiritually understood.
Yes. I believe that suffering only causes more suffering. Negativity only causes more negativity. Sacrifice only causes more sacrifice.
Yes.
So we got to understand that by embracing it, by understanding it, by resolving it. Now you move to the side of the light, and this is the new balancing way that the Mayan were able to be in balance for so many years. So the Mayan teachings are about being in balance. We see that the field is out of balance. We see that there's more weight in the other side. Why is there more weight? Because nobody wants to talk about the shadow. Nobody wants to see within themselves all those negative. But the time has come. If we fix ourselves, you are fixing the collective field. Just a little bit, but all together, now it's adding up to really bringing in balance our world.
This is how we evolve. Thank you, Shuni, for coming with us today. And as my guest today, I want to offer you my gift back to you for taking the time with us today. As my psychic, as a professional psychic, I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, all the clairs, actually. I actually see and hear the person's guide / guardian angel. This has been for many years. But I'm always a hard and fast skeptic. I only use tarot, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology. I know all those sciences very well, but I prefer to only use them as a third point of reference from what I'm being shown or told for you. Normally doing a reading, it's an hour long. For today, we're going to do a mini reading, and literally they're going to tell you the answer. They will, the guides, that's who controls all readings, but they'll tell you the answer and all about it. And you always have free will to apply the information or not. And for anyone that, while she's getting her question ready, if anyone wants their own reading, you are welcome to contact me on Facebook at Antonia Lau. Just look up that name. And or on my my other website at inthesecretgarden.com to book your own reading, which is an hour long, a lot more intense than we can do on the air. So do you have a question for me today?
Yes. So just as you, I am also guided. As I came here to Canada, the energy field here, it's almost like lucid for me. And something was presented to me also from the ancestors. And I would like to keep following this. It was said to me that I needed to open a council, that I needed to reopen the sacred book of the Maya, the book where we came together and counsel as a human, as a human race. My question is, am I meant to open these councils in other countries?
Okay, I want you to think it not to me or to you, because we're human. You want to uncross hands and ankles, that tends to block the energy. Mm-hmm. But you're asking it non-verbally in your mind, exactly that way, to the divine universe, God creator, in your own way, with love and respect to them. Think of that question in your mind to them. Are you here to bring the council to other countries?
So am I here to bring the council to others?
And then say stop shuffling whenever you want. Remember, this is only a third point of reference for me.
Stop.
Okay. 1 second, please. Remember, in any time someone is doing, this is, again, only a third point of reference for the tarot. I actually see and hear, but I like a third point of reference because of my heavy-duty skepticism that's maintained, and it's a good one. But this is important, Shuni, as I lay them out to let people understand the guides, the divine universe controls them, not you or I. Mine happen to have a cross on the back, the Hermetic cross, by the way. But they're very precious, so they should be treated that way as well for those. They're not something light. It's another way that we are given to adapt to the divine universe. And it shows me that on the pathway you're headed, they said you got I hear exactly what they're saying. They said you got the information correctly, and here it is to confirm it. The answer is yes. Now they're showing me, this is interesting, because in the last couple of years, this has been, or actually 4 or 5 years, this has been the only indicator for me for the earth changes. As you can see, literally it shows in my particular deck, this is the globe of the world, and she's pouring, but that's the axis of the earth herself, or the mm-hmm. angle of the earth that she lays, and she's pouring water or spirituality on it. But this is alluding to now the major earth changes that are getting ready to happen throughout the cosmos that we asked to be here to exhibit and to feel and to experience. But it shows me, not only is it yes, it shows me you're using your spiritual connections to the divine universe to offer what you have as your knowledge as a council. Now, people are going to disagree because they're used to disagreeing in council. That's what you've seen in the past. They say something and then means well and walk away and nothing gets done. But right now, it shows me that's your thinking. That's what you're, because that's your experience. It does show me you're going to talk to a male gentleman that may say, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, and he won't do anything. Be aware. It looks like he's bald on top. The chin is skinnier on the bottom, and his hair is shorter, and he won't. He's older. It looks like he's over 50 or 60, but it shows me he'll go, oh, yes, yes, and he won't do it. So be aware, you have to have backup for this gentleman or go around them and get it to someone else. It does show me God and the universe's influence on this, Shuni. It shows me you are trying to help the world, or the God and the universe is wanting the world to balance, as we said on the show earlier, mind and body and soul, literally. And so it shows me the world is out of balance. And this council, the answer is yes to help it, but this council will go down in history, Shuni. Okay, for generations to come, that council will be known after these earth changes. I heard them say, after the great changes. I just heard that exact word. They said, the great changes. They mean not just spiritual changes. They mean not mental changes. They mean physical changes, all three, in a three-dimensional world so far. After the great changes, they say, the balance will be reinstated or renewed into the world, mind, body, and soul. But it shows me what you're doing as this council will be known amongst your peer, the public, or the media, if you stay balanced as well. It also shows me here on the pathway headed, they've been giving, they're continuing to give you more ideas. They want you to implement them. So they'll pull you and to give you more information. But there's a tendency for most humans not to apply. So we want to make sure we're always doing that. So the answer to your question is a brilliant one. You notice it was for all of us. The answer is yes, Junie. It was wonderful to have you as my guest on the show.
It was wonderful to be here, Antonia. It's an honor to be in Canada and being able to share, like I say, this new way of understanding that The living field has played so much of a big part in our hearts, in our minds, in our health. And it's time for all of us to awake, you know, to realize that we are all human beings just striving to feel, striving to create, striving to be, again, humans. So thank you very much, Canada. It is always my honor.
Well, you're talking to the whole world here.
And to the whole world.
So those of you in Europe, you want to look up, so I think it's Germany, Czechoslovakia, Makedonka, Bosna. Hello to you all. Thank you for listening. And you'll see Shuni shortly.
And thank you very much.
I want to wish the audience all the best.
Maltiosh.